Good morning. Welcome to our broadcast. It is Thursday. And right now, still dominating the headlines, the final goodbyes to former President George H.W. Bush. There's a funeral service in Texas today. That will be it. And then a burial for the former president. I want to share this before I even go into some of our other planned content here. It's not often I come across things that are actually worth repeating from social media, but there are moments. I wanted to share this before we go into some of the things we discuss here. By the way, you do have that George Bush clip from yesterday. Is that correct, John? The one of George W. Bush delivering the eulogy yesterday. I thought I sent that to you. Maybe I did not. This was a social media thing that I actually sent. Yes, you remember. I love this, but I came across this morning. And I want you to think about this, about who you are as a person, but also the kinds of people who you look to. Because there are a lot of people who like to be in charge, and they like to think that they're in charge. They like to boss people around. But I love this, the difference between a boss and a leader. A boss demands, a leader coaches. A boss relies on authority. Leader relies on goodwill. A boss issues ultimatums. A leader generates enthusiasm. A boss says, I. A leader says, we. A boss uses people. A leader develops people. A boss takes credit. A leader gives credit. A boss places the blame. A leader accepts blame. A boss says, go. A leader says, let's go. A boss says, my way is the only way. A leader promotes strength and unity. Isn't this cool? Really speaking to the distinction, which is so important. Leadership is something that has been a concern of mine for quite some time. Because I'm convinced there are a lot of people who have titles, who have positions, who frankly should not have them. Because these distinctions I've just described to you are incredibly stark. And boy, I could tell you stories. But I won't tell you stories. I will say, and I think it's important to point out here, the church is not very helpful in this area. Because the same mindset very much drives the boss mentality. Just putting that out there. I think Charles just sent this. As we were talking about George H.W. Bush, describing his best takeaway from the state funeral yesterday. Hatred corrodes the container it's contained in. Wow. Where did you hear that? Was that one of the speakers who communicated that yesterday? Alan Simpson said this yesterday, and that doesn't surprise me at all. And this is something I've repeatedly talked about on this program, that you know what the left is, you know how they behave, and I've become increasingly concerned that a lot of people who call themselves on the right have taken in the same mindset that we've seen on the left for years, under the guise of fighting, and under the guise of opposing evil and opposing liberalism. Hatred corrodes the container it's carried in. And you know, there's a scripture that's very much connected to this that I will talk more about. And it is about bitterness. There's a warning about a root of bitterness springing up and defiling many. Boy, do I know. One day I will tell you. It's an ongoing story that I'm seeing unfolding in so many places. But it's the same thing, isn't it? Hatred corrodes the container it's carried in. I just want to encourage you, all of us, let's do some self-examination. And let's do some honest conversation with each other. People you genuinely care about, ask these questions. Is it possible you're harboring bitterness or hatred toward anybody? It doesn't matter. And what is that expression? Something to the effect that hatred and bitterness, it's kind of like drinking poison and expecting it to kill your enemies. That's exactly what happens here. I wanted to just share with you one clip from yesterday's service from George W. Bush. I cannot imagine being in this position. And again, not just eulogizing your father, but also on top of that, doing this before millions of people around the world. Here is just a brief clip from yesterday's event.
We're going to miss you. Your decency, sincerity, and kind soul will stay with us forever. So through our tears, let us know the blessings of knowing and loving you, a great and noble man, the best father a son or daughter could have. And in our grief, let us smile knowing that Dad is hugging Robin and holding Mom's hand again.
Oh, my goodness. Can you imagine? Now, honestly, if that didn't just pull a heartstring, you need a heart examination to see if there's anything going on in there. I'm not talking about physically. I'm talking about your soul, your spirit. You know, it's a good time for all of us as well to do some examination about ourselves, the kind of people, what would be said of us at our funeral? I mean, nobody likes to think of, you know, you don't want to think about your own death. But we ought to think about it in the context of not so much. And there's a difference here between reputation and what's the other word I'm looking for? Image. I'm not concerned about my image. I am concerned about my reputation and that being a byproduct of my character. I want that to be something that people can rightfully honor when I pass away. In other words, I don't care so much. I don't want people to say nice things for the sake of it. But I hope they've got some good reason to communicate those things. Just something to think about as we wrap up this particular portion of our broadcast. Coming up, yes, it was inevitable. We will go into the political assessment of the past few days, and I'm sure you'll want to offer some perspectives on this and much more. Our Ingalls Advantage talk line number 800-928-1110, Common Sense Retirement Planning text line 71307. Oh boy, you know, this text line just intrigues me sometimes. I would like some of you people to call me. I'm serious. I'll get to some of these texts in a bit here. Let's first go to a call from Joe in Charlotte. Good morning, Joe.
Well, good morning, sir. Nice to talk to you.
Same here.
I honor George Bush for his humility. And, you know, we sunk so low that he didn't go out on his wife, so you have to take that into account, at least not that we know of, and I'm pretty sure that he didn't. And I would bet on it. And also, you know, honor his World War II service, but, you know, millions of men served honorably, and, you know, he was the youngest pilot in the Navy in World War II. But, you know, the fact that he got to be a pilot, you know, at such a young age is kind of surprising, but, you know, maybe there were a lot of others, I don't know, because he didn't finish college yet, and he was only 20 years old. But the thing is, the rest of it, politically, he was a disaster. Now, he was an honest man. I'll give him definitely credit for that. But his ideas of what he thought, for example, he's the one that started, NAFTA started under him. And not only that, he's the one that, I don't know where he got the advice from, but he's the one that nominated, I believe his name was David Souter. I knew his last name, Souter, the Supreme Court Justice, who They called him Stealth Justice because they thought he was a conservative because he walked his mother to Sunday school. And he turned out to be a very leftist type of justice, to say the least. And he also, he caved in to the Democrats left and right. And when he said his 1,000 points of light, that was supposed to be an idea to oppose what Reagan stood for, because he wanted to be more non-combative. So he caved in to the Democrats on all kinds of things. And so, you know, so that's just something that I think that side of it needs to be remembered.
And I'm sure those things will be remembered in the history books, Joe. I do appreciate your call. There's no Pollyanna perspective here, frankly, about anybody. Shall I go into the other texts here on the text line? You think I should do this, guys? Here we go. This text, responding to what I shared at the beginning of the broadcast, I would rather have a boss. Really? Why don't you call in and explain to me why you'd rather have a boss? I would really like to know that. See, this mindset really scares me, because this is the foundation for dictatorships and monarchies. I've said this before, and I still believe this. I believe this country is very rapidly heading to the place that will welcome a dictatorship or a monarchy. Our experiment with a democratic republic, I think it's in trouble. And it's not just in trouble because of liberals. It's in trouble because of a lot of people who call themselves Republicans. I don't know what they're thinking. I really don't. Let's see what else we have here. How is your view on our president not a contributing factor, an example of how the Republican Party is being divided? Well, what do you build it on? That's my question. What are the principles and the values? Is it based on a person or is it based on a set of values? See, division is about a conflict of ideas. Now, in my mind, you have truth, you have error. That's where you ought to have the conversations. If you're going to make it about a person, well, you've got a problem, because I'm not ever going to be all in with a person. That ain't going to work for me. It might work for you. Another texter saying, man up, Vince. Don't be a Nancy boy. Really? So being a man, by the way, I have a story. I don't know if we'll get to this today, but it was an interesting idea on what's happened to our perspective of manhood. And I think there's a lot of distortion taking place here, not just by the left. I think many of us have some very, very distorted views here. Another very important difference between your definition of leader and boss: your leader requires those being led to have similar motivation. Aha. Let's see. Leader practices the appropriate mix of all the characteristics you listed for leaders and bosses. Aha. Vince, like I said weeks ago, the longer Trump, Peter Navarro, John Bolton press a hard line in the China trade war, this will continue to destabilize global markets. Trump's reckless disregard for the damage he's inflicting frightens the crap out of me. Aha. I would encourage you, be not afraid. Let's talk about the corporate world and how it's being affected by decisions that are made. You heard about that place, Dick's Sporting Goods? We've got yet another episode in the saga that is Dick's Sporting Goods. They've now told investors during the Goldman Sachs retailing conference its gun control stance has hurt sales of its hunting business, outdoors business, and that it may close its outdoor-focused Field and Stream stores. This is kind of intriguing, isn't it? Edward Stack, chairman and CEO of Dick's, said during the event, the sporting goods chain recent 3.9% drop in same-store sales, the result of a mix of factors beyond their control, as well as some he called self-imposed. Well, I wonder what that might be. Specifically, he said decisions we made on firearms negatively affected their bottom line. And the drop in sales was something they expected. They did not, however, regret their decision to change a number of their gun sales policies and back new gun control legislation. Keep doubling and tripling and quadrupling down on stupidity. Go for it. He goes on, I think it's definitely a factor. It's nothing we didn't anticipate. As we put out kind of our guidance for the year and our earnings guidance for the year, we knew this would happen. When we've made some decision on firearms in the past, and we've had a pretty good idea of what these consequences were going to be. We felt that was absolutely the right thing to do. We would do the same thing again if we had a mulligan, so to speak, to do it again. So there you go. They are perfectly content with the decision. And again, they are free to do whatever they want. Corporate decision here. I would not want to see a government mandate. This is, again, how capitalism works, is it not? Where people make choices. People have the opportunity to vote. They vote with their feet. They vote with their wallets. And they decide, you know what? What I see is a betrayal. A betrayal of constitutional values. And so, people have decided, a lot of people have decided, they would rather shop somewhere else. Go for it. That's the way this works. Speaking of money, we've also got to keep an eye on Wall Street. Not a pretty picture there. By the way, have you heard any comments lately from a lot in so-called Republican or conservative media about what's happening in the stock market? Oh, there was a lot of celebration just weeks ago. And now, it seems like things have changed. We're going to talk about what's happening and much more as we continue our broadcast. Back on the Vince Coakley radio program, let's go out to Greenville and James. Good morning, James.
Hey, good morning, Vince. How you doing?
All right, sir.
I just want to talk about dicks real fast. I got one other quick point, too, on the back end of it. I meant to tell your screener. I forgot about that, but I'll be quick about it. One, dicks, I got no sympathy for them because, you know, they basically prove the old saying, when you try to ride both sides of the fence, you get rubbed raw. And by that, I mean they came out after Sandy Hook and they decided that they weren't going to – they made the business decision that they weren't going to sell ARs inside their Dick's Sporting Goods stores. Which that's their right to do. That's their prerogative. I don't like it, but it's their store. What I didn't like is how they were deceitful about it, and they were still selling the heck out of some ARs out of Field and Stream. So they were, you know, they were still benefiting from that style rifle. And you know, now that they're gonna, you know, I think they got caught in the deceit, and I think people, you know, decided, you know, well, if you're going to do that, I mean, that just ain't right. I mean, you could still walk into a Dick's Sporting Goods and they sit there and say, well, we're only going to sell hunting rifles and shotguns, but they still in Dick's Sporting Goods, I saw it firsthand, had, you know, self-defense shotguns with pistol grips and the breech barrels, and they looked really, really scary, and those were on their shelves, but they weren't going to sell ARs. So I've got no sympathy for them. But the other point I wanted to make real quick was about the Bush funeral that I haven't heard anybody talk about, was when the Episcopalian preacher got up there and gave his speech after W, and he talked about Jim Baker being there in the room with George H.W. Bush. And I don't know if a lot of people caught it, but the preacher said Jim Baker came in there being a longtime friend and humbled himself, basically, is the way I took it, and rubbed George H.W. Bush's feet to try and comfort him. And the minute he said that, it hit me about how, you know, kind of the same correlation, how Jesus washed his disciples' feet and how people, you know, we need to be more like that. We need to humble ourselves a little bit more, not just to our friends, but the people around us, to, you know, to humble ourselves like that and be more servant-like. And I think that also ties in with being a good leader.
James.
The greatest leader of all washed his disciples' feet and set the best example ever. And I just think we should be more like that a little bit.
James, that is absolutely powerful. I so appreciate you sharing that. Thank you very much for your call. That's awesome. Because that hits right to the heart. I mean, doesn't it? I mean, think of this. Think of these very people who are held in such high esteem. You know, these are celebrities. These are, you know, dignitaries. And yet, in moments like that, that's where the real test of humanity comes. Are you able to forget about all the titles and positions and status and just comfort a fellow human being? Are you willing to do that? I think that's just absolutely awesome. So glad he shared that. By the way, I want to remind you about tomorrow's broadcast, because for Faith Focus Friday, you'll hear from the leader of a ministry that deals with, and I would characterize it this way, with wholeness as it relates to especially not just physical healing, but also, I would say, healing of the soul. Some people might refer to it as, in different ways. But I would strongly encourage you to listen to tomorrow's broadcast, because it's a very, very helpful information. An interview that I conducted last Friday while at a conference. So I'd encourage you to listen to this. Over on the text line, a lot to catch up on. And this is another response to this issue of leadership. Vince, on a leader and a boss, you can give some people a foot and they'll think they're a leader, they're a ruler. Okay, that is from Jeff. On the gun subject and Dick's Sporting Goods, Vince, when they decided to stop selling the AR-15, my husband and I made a conscious pact we would never shop at Dick's Sporting Goods again. Never. Just the last year before they made those changes, we bought over $1,000 worth of 10-point technology crossbow Wicked Ridge. Never again. Academy and the like will get our business. I'm just reading what this says, by the way. Screw Dick's and their leftist-leaning liberal viewpoint. My goodness. Thank you for your show. We love you. That is from Jane. And we love you as well, Jane. Thank you very much for writing. I couldn't help but to find humor there, okay? Let us see. What else do we have here? Vince, that snowflake who's scared of Trump, probably also believes monsters live under his bed and sleeps with a nightlight on. That's Jim out of Easley. Another person, have not been at a Dick store since they announced they were discontinuing AR-15s. Academy. Palmetto State Armory. Much better anyway. Alrighty. Just some of the ideas on the text line. I thought there was another one here. Here it is. This texter saying, I think some listeners believe you were taking a swipe at Trump with a leader-boss segment. I believe Trump has attributes from both categories. Obama was a boss. Aha. Kind of interesting, some of the perspectives that have come here. This caller who was making reference to James Baker a few minutes ago, Charles has further clarified this. The pastor spoke of Baker rubbing George H.W. Bush's feet for 30 minutes. Baker wept as he listened. Charles just added that bit of information. See, this is part of, and this is one of the paradoxes of what I've talked to you about before. You know, I now more than ever in my life, I am very, very suspicious of the very hard and crusty And, you know, the kind of person who comes across as the allegedly the John Wayne kind of tough guy, I'm more suspicious of that than I've ever been in my life. Because a lot of it's fake. It's fake. And what you will find, in many cases, is a scared little boy behind the facade. See, what I love paradoxes. I love the paradox of a person who has strength but is able to cry. Somebody who's able to rub someone's feet but is able to be bold and strong at the same time. See, I think people interpret meekness as weakness. It is not. Just some ideas that I think are well worth considering. Coming up, we'll talk about what's going on in the stock market. It's down, by the way. Surprise, surprise. We'll talk about this and much more as we continue our Thursday broadcast. Back on the Vince Coakley radio program, what in the heck is going on with Wall Street? Well, we've seen a trend downward lately. And I've mentioned on this program as well, there's profound concern. Not only is there concern about what's going on, the relationship between the United States and China and whatever is going to work out trade-wise, there's also concern that we could be headed toward a recession. The Dow has dropped 500 points today, bringing its two-day losses to more than 1,300 points. 1,300 points. That's a lot. So what's going on here? Well, it's continuing fear over the U.S.-China trade relationship and concern over a possible global economic slowdown. Trade fears ratcheted up after one CEO was arrested by Canadian authorities in Vancouver. Ming Wazoo, arrested in Vancouver Wednesday, facing extradition to the U.S. This arrest decreases the likelihood that a permanent U.S.-China trade deal would be reached. Is this pronounced Huawei, the name of the company? One of the largest mobile phone makers in the world. So this is another element in this ongoing story. And again, I just want to remind you, all of these things are fluid. And I don't care who is in the White House. I think it's very important for us to keep in mind, we are one country. One country. And there are factors not only going on behind the scenes affecting our country, but others. And not everything is in our control. I was talking yesterday about the fact that we always go through economic cycles. It's almost like a game of musical chairs. Who knows who's going to be in office when that downturn happens? Now, there are those who believe that this is engineered. And who knows? Maybe it is. But the bottom line is, we do have cycles. There are cycles of prosperity. There are cycles that are downturns of varying degrees of intensity. And we have to be prepared for either one and not think that there's some magic bullet that's going to guarantee continual prosperity. It's not necessarily going to happen. There are cycles. So that's something important to keep in mind. Another story developing, and there's actually two stories I want to tell you about in this regard. On the ongoing Mueller investigation, Devin Nunes, chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, recently talked to Fox News about four buckets of information he and other Republicans are urging President Trump to declassify. One, the third FISA renewal application on Carter Page, signed by Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein. Two, statements from Justice Department official Bruce Orr to FBI officials. Three, exculpatory evidence that was never given to the FISA court. Four, emails between the FBI, DOJ, and others that clearly show they knew about information that should have been presented to the FISA court. These are all classified. Devin Nunes says they need to be declassified. Now, Nunes did not go into detail about this fourth bucket of information, the email chain between FBI officials, including former Director James Comey, and Justice Department officials. But John Solomon, opinion contributor to The Hill, told Fox News he's learned from sources the FBI DOJ email chain provides direct evidence that the Bureau and possibly the DOJ had reasons to doubt the Steele dossier before the FISA warrant was secured to spy on Trump campaign volunteer Carter Page. So this goes to the heart of the foundation of the investigation. According to Solomon, the FBI was concerned about the reliability of the Steele dossier before seeking the FISA warrant, but went ahead and applied for the warrant anyway. It would constitute a serious breach of FISA regulations and the trust the FISA court places in the FBI. The reliability of this information used to get a FISA warrant on Carter Page has long been a central concern about the entire Trump-Russia probe, which President Trump characterizes as a witch hunt, the entire thing. By the way, and just to put this in a context for you about this entire probe, let me put it in this context. I talked with a friend of mine the other day who, quite unfortunately, is in the midst of a DWI situation. Now, his defense, he hopes, will be able to successfully secure his absolution from this charge by going to the foundation of the stop in the first place. Now, supposedly, this friend of mine was swerving on the road. And my friend was hoping that the video evidence will show that was not the case. And if there's no justification for the stop, then anything after the stop can be thrown out. That's what they're hoping for. I'm putting this in a context. This is exactly what those who are looking at this Trump investigation, those who are detractors of the investigation, are hoping to prove. They're basically saying the whole foundation of the investigation is not justified. The Steele dossier, the foundation for the FISA warrant, once you throw that out, if that's in error, the rest of it has to be thrown out. We'll see what happens.